Blog Talk Radio.
Britt?
Yep.
Britt, you there?
I am.
Oh my God, it appears that we are live. I'm really sorry. Again, guys, Blog Talk has given us some technical difficulties this week. We're hoping that everyone can hear us. We're going to get started, and we want to welcome everyone. We've had quite the week. We are interviewing Martha Madison tonight, who's returning to Days of Our Lives, and you know, we are beyond excited and honored to have the opportunity to interview her. There were some glitches on Tuesday. It was a little stressful, and I have to say, Britt, there's nobody else that I would rather, you know, go through that experience with than you. I feel that, you know, it was a pretty incredible experience, and I feel like if we can get through that, we can get through anything. And Martha was a great sport about it. So, you know, we just want to thank everyone. So, you know, a lot of people tweeted us and, you know, have retweeted us and been great about switching the times. But Britt, if you're ready, you know, I want to get started and jump right into the intro.
Yeah, I say let's do it. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And we're really looking forward to chatting it up with Martha. So, Liz, you want to go ahead and jump into the intro?
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to get started. I've been known to get a little too into introductions. Britt, kind of, I can tell, was impressed by how thorough this one was. I apologize, everyone, but I love Martha. So, you know, bear with me, and then we will bring Martha on right after I finish.
Martha, it was a beautiful PowerPoint presentation, by the way.
Seriously, honestly, I know. All right, let me get started here. Martha Madison was born in Newport News, Virginia, but relocated early on to Houston, Texas. Martha began studying acting at the age of 6 at the Actors Theater of Houston, as well as the renowned Theater Under the Stars. Martha's interest in performance didn't end there. She also discovered dance at a very early age, and after years of practice, became the captain of her high school's dance team. After graduating from high school, Martha went on to attend Texas A&M University, where she again was the captain of the nationally ranked Division I-A Aggie dance team. Martha graduated from Texas A&M in 1999 with a Bachelor of Science degree in psychology, but wasn't about to give up the stage just yet, and applied and was accepted to the prestigious American Musical and Dramatic Academy in New York City, where she continued to hone her skills as a performer. In 2003, Martha would make her biggest career move yet and relocate to Los Angeles to focus on her acting career. After 11 months of auditioning, her hard work paid off when she landed the recast role of the popular Days of Our Lives character, Isabella Black. Fans quickly grew to love Martha's portrayal of this fan favorite character, and it was this role that made Martha a familiar and beloved face in daytime television. Martha would play Belle Black for the next 4 years before her character would depart from Salem with Sean Douglas Brady and their daughter Claire. However, this wouldn't be the last fans saw of Martha. In addition to guest appearances on popular shows like Without a Trace and Criminal Minds, she would also join the cast of the popular daytime Emmy Award-winning web series The Bay, where she would continue to work alongside other talented daytime favorites. Martha also serves as a co-host with Lily Melgar on their popular T-Radio V show, The Soapbox, where they cover current events, daytime news, and also a regular lineup of interviews with some of the most influential names in daytime television. In addition to seeing Martha on The Soapbox with Lily, fans can also catch her this fall as she returns to Days of Our Lives for the much-anticipated Days 50th anniversary. Martha will also be front and center on Michael Caruso's new and highly anticipated web series, Winterthorn, which is set to debut on August 27th of 2015. Off screen, Martha is married to a successful restaurant entrepreneur, AJ Gilbert. Martha and AJ welcomed their first child, daughter Charlie Elizabeth, in November of 2013. Martha also serves as an ambassador for the National Multiple Sclerosis Foundation. Martha's involvement is in large part due to watching her mother live with MS for nearly 25 years. Entertainer, radio personality, wife, and mother. We don't know how she does it, but we will certainly try to find out. Join us as we welcome Martha Madison to Litany. How'd I do, Britt?
Wonderful, darling. Wonderful.
After the prompt didn't go off, I was a little on edge. So let's see if we can actually bring Martha on. She's in the queue. One moment, I'm going to bring her on.
Hello.
Martha?
Hello, Martha.
Hi, guys. Wow, that intro was like, I got chills. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. And like, seriously, I really tried to condense it down. I could tell by Britt's response when I emailed it to her. She was like, wow, you really slayed that intro. And I was like, I know, I got a little carried away.
Well, you definitely made me sound like amazing. I wish my real life really was like that. What?
We do actually think you're pretty amazing. So that's how we feel. And we're not budging on that, but this is Liz. And I want to really thank you, rescheduling and everything. We want to thank everyone joining us in the chat. And Britt, you're actually going to start it off. I want to jump right into it with Martha. We have a lot of questions for you, Martha. I'm going to start a little bit with these. But Britt, you want to say hello?
Yes, of course. Martha, it's so good to have you. And again, thank you so much for your patience this week with the mini crisis that we had earlier.
I'm very well versed in mini crises, so don't worry about it one bit.
We had the perfect guinea pig then. We have a few questions, and by a few, I mean we've narrowed it down to right about 78. So,
oh, God.
We'll go ahead and jump right in. We were really excited to learn and doing some research that you too were a Dave's fan growing up. And so we wanted to kind of ask you, like, what were some of your personal favorite storylines and pairings as you were growing up a fan?
I had so many. You know, I started watching probably in the mid-80s, which was kind of the highlight of soap operas in general, you know, big weddings. I remember Bo and Hope's wedding.
Oh,
I remember, that was amazing. I remember, you know, the Devil Possession was like blew my mind, you know. I loved, I remember one of my favorite scenes of all time was when Sammy was going to marry Austin, and I guess he left her at the altar, right? And she freaked out and just had this, like, crazy freak out. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to freak out on TV.
You know what? I mean, that saga went on for a while, too. That, like, the whole Sammy saga, I feel like it was never ending, and, like, fans always reminisce about it.
Oh, but it was so good. Like, the payoff was so good. It's fine if the story takes a while, if the payoff is worth it, you know? And I think that, you know, soaps have a hard time with that now because spoilers get out and people, you know, spill rumors or they just straight up tell a story. And, you know, that's no fun. I mean, you want to have the suspense. If you can really keep the suspense going, the payoff is so much better. Those are some of my favorites. But, I mean, I've been a longtime fan. I mean, I've loved so much of it.
Well, it definitely shows, too, I think, too. Sorry to interrupt, but I was going to say, it definitely shows, and we'll get to that a little later, but when you discuss things on the soapbox, you know, you can tell that first and foremost, you're a fan of the genre.
I'm a huge fan, and I feel like it's a huge honor to be able to make a living doing something that I've always, you know, that's like a hobby for me, you know what I mean? I love it. I love every ounce of it.
Did you grow up watching any other soaps, or was it mostly like Dave? Did you mostly just stick with Dave?
I have two sisters, and my oldest sister really liked Young and the Restless, and my other sister liked Days of Our Lives. And I started watching it like when we would be home from school for the summer. We had a pool in our backyard and we would always have friends over and go swimming and stuff. And it was always around lunchtime that we would come in and eat and just sit down in front of the TV. And it was always Days on. And so I got hooked on it. My sisters did not get hooked on it really. And I got like kind of obsessive with it. And I literally recorded the show every single day on my VCR.
Forever.
And then it became a TiVo and then it became our DVR, you know, like I've always watched it. Young and the Restless, I would watch every once in a while, like I said, with my oldest sister, but she wasn't a devout watcher either. So it was always sporadic. And then when I was working at Days, you know, you just have your TV on in your dressing room a lot. And so I would flip through them and I started getting kind of hooked on General Hospital. And then it was like, I'm spending way too much of my life on this. Like, I have to stop.
Brit can relate.
I've never gotten into Bold and the Beautiful, not because I'm not interested, but just because I, you know, it just never was in my house growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know a little bit.
Yeah, I know. And I'm hearing they're having the year, you know, like an epic year right now. But I read up on all the soap for Soapbox. So I feel like I'm really plugged into the community.
Oh, you are. We're big Soapbox fans, and you really are. And we were, you know, during my extensive background research, I was kind of shocked to learn that the same day you learned, because we know that you weren't the original recast.
That's right.
And we knew that, but we read a quote somewhere where you actually, or an interview where you said that, you know, basically you got called into the studio, you thought you hadn't gotten the part. You go in and they say, you know, we're going to actually, you know, we've decided that we want to let the original recast go and we're going to bring you in. And it sounded like you were, you know, basically, you know, handed a script that day and basically, you know, said, they basically said to you, you know, can you just, you know, learn the lines and are you going to be ready to shoot? We wanted to, you know what it was like when you first auditioned, because that must have been pretty surreal as a fan. And then what was it like when you actually were, you know, told, like, basically the same day, you've been recast, or you're going to be the recast, we need you to now learn this script and be ready to shoot? Because that must have been, we know the schedule can be a little brutal. Was that, you know, a bit of a
shock? I tell this story a lot because it's one of those sort of, it's one of those events, and take this in the spirit it's intended, it's one of those events that kind of makes you believe in divine intervention, you know what I mean? I was a manager at my now husband's restaurant, and he and I were kind of breaking up at the time, like we were going through a breakup, and I was miserable working there, you know, because he was my boss, and it was just weird, and I found out that they were going to be casting for this role. And so I told my agent, I said, you have to get me in for this. I just feel like this is the right time. I got to get in for this. I know I can book it. And she said, you know, I submitted you. They said you're too old. And I said, well, send them a different picture. Like, you know, get me in. That's your job. And she said, they don't want to see you. You're too old. You're, you know, the other girl is much younger than you and they don't want to age the character yet, blah, blah, blah. So I found the casting director's email through any means necessary, and I sent her an email with a picture of me when I was like 10 years younger. And I said, I'm a huge fan of the show. I know I can play this part. You have to see me. And lo and behold, she called me the next day and she said, come in. And I was actually the very last person to audition for the role. According to Fran Bascom at the time, who was the casting director, I went in at like 5:00 on a Friday. And she called me like immediately after and said, we want you to come back and read for the producers. And I was just shaking. I was like, oh, I knew it, you know. and I went in for the producers and I had a horrible audition. I was just way too nervous and way too in my head. And I, you know, I just blew it. And I thought, well, that's it. And they called later that day and they said they want to test you. And I couldn't even, like, it's like I couldn't breathe. I was just couldn't believe this was actually happening. And I went into, there were four of us. This was the third or fourth group of girls that had tested. And there were four of us in this test group. Charity and I were both there and a couple of other girls. And I felt like I gave a really good test. And I thought, you know, I just might get this. And I called my agent. I said, I felt really good about it. I feel like I might get this. And she called me the next day and she said, you didn't get it. I'm really sorry. They went with somebody else. And, you know, I was crushed. And I had to go back to my crappy job with my, you know, boyfriend who was trying to break up with me. And, you know, and I was just totally bummed. And 3 weeks later, on the her first air date, because at the time they were only shooting 3 weeks ahead, on that first air date, my agent called me and she said, I need to know your sizes. Days of Our Lives was calling. They need to know your sizes, your shoe size. How quickly can you get there? They want to talk to you. And I said, what about? She said, I'm not really sure. Maybe they're writing you in. Maybe they need you for a day player. I don't know. I'm not getting a clear answer. All I'm telling you is I need your sizes. So I gave her my sizes. And of course, I'm like rushing to the studio. And I get there, and they whisk me up to the executive producer's office, and the executive producer sits down and says, we made a mistake. You're our bell, and we need you to start today. Here's two scripts, not one, two scripts.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, don't panic. We have an acting coach and a dialogue coach in your room waiting for you. You're going to go to hair and makeup. They're going to get you ready, and they're going to take you down to your dialogue coach, and they're going to work with you. And when you're ready, we're going to shoot these two shows today.
That is kind of a divine intervention story, I have
it
to
is,
say.
Right? And,
honestly,
and the funny
Martha,
part is I was supposed to work that day. The best part was that I was supposed to work that day. And it was the best feeling ever to go into work and be like, I quit. See you later.
Oh, I bet.
And then,
I also read, too, that you said because you were such a fan of the show, you kind of – you know, from the beginning, felt like you could play Belle Black. And I think that really resonated with fans. And someone in the chat, Jess J, is actually saying, you know, that you truly were meant to be Belle Black.
I don't know, but the timing was right, and I recognized the timing, and I knew that I knew enough that I could probably go in and just, like, I'd get it. They wouldn't have to fill me in, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like the right thing. That's I always tell people, when you feel those gut feelings where you just know, even if people tell you you're crazy, if you just know it, you have to go for it. Like, you just have to go for it. And I'm so happy that it worked out.
Hey, Britt, you might want to just see if you can log in, because my computer, like, just totally, like, the studio shut down. But it appears that we're all still on air and talking. But if you can log in, Britt, just to be safe.
All right, I will definitely try here.
I'm just glad that I can still hear voices. Basically, I just wanted to, we're going to transition here a little bit. It's still, you know, on Days. I'm going to ask the next question, Britt. But, you know, we know that you were in, obviously as fans, some of the most memorable storylines on Days. You know, and you were, you know, immediately thrown into a triangle. Are there any scenes that stick out in your mind as memorable? And I, you know, we went back and watched some scenes, so we know that you had some really great ones right off the bat.
I mean, there's a lot. There are, I was very lucky to have sort of front burner story the whole time I was there before. I felt like we told some important stories. You know, I really felt like the amputation story with Philip, Kyle Brandt played, that role when Philip went off to war and lost his leg. And I felt like that was an important story to tell. And I thought it went over pretty well. I think, you know, the funniest story, I think, is the whole hypothermic coma sex, you know, with Sean.
Oh my God.
And the burning barn.
Yeah, I think every fan was hoping to, like, you're like, you know, it's a bit of a stretch, but we really hope that's where they go with it. It's a soap opera. They can do that.
Right.
And also,
and
I have
did.
To just say
it,
you were part of the whole Jan Spears love cage story, which I'm sorry, that was phenomenal.
That was,
you know,
that was when I came on. That was at the very beginning.
And
then I think some of the better work that I felt most proud of was during John's death. We really kind of poured our whole heart and soul into that, and I think that turned out really well too. So those are the things that really stick out in my mind. And you know, there's so much more coming up. It's all good.
Well, we were really sad to see you and Jason exit. And obviously we were ecstatic, and a lot of fans were, when we learned you both were returning to Days of Our Lives for the 50th. What was your reaction? I know it's jumping ahead a little bit, but what was your reaction when Days approached you about returning?
I mean, it was completely out of the blue. So, I mean, at first I was just shocked. But when Greg called me the first time, he was actually, it seems to me, I thought at the time that he was calling about Soapbox, because that was something that he seemed to be really interested in learning more about. And we talked a lot about that. And he asked me to come in. And during our meeting, he called in the writers and casting director and everything. And we had a really nice conversation, but it was never, it was a meeting where I didn't really know why I was there. And I think for them it was, I want to see you. I want to know where you are in your life. Are you interested in this? Are you interested in that? Like, where are you going in your career? Are you producing now? Are you hosting now? Like, what do you want to do? And I said, you know, I want to be an actor. I've always wanted to be an actor. And had a great meeting with everybody. We talked a lot about Winterthorne and Soapbox. And we left in the meeting, you know, just kind of open-ended. And a few days later, Greg called and offered me a job. And it was just great. I mean, it was just, I've wanted and hoped to be able to go back and work in daytime again. So I was very happy to get that call.
Well, we're very happy that they did call you, you know, and we really, you know, we've obviously listened to you on the Soapbox, so we're going to get a little bit more into that, but we could just tell how excited you are to return, and we can, you know, again, we can just see that not just as an actress, but as a fan of the genre, you're just excited, and, you know, I've been telling people are saying, like, do you think it's going to be good? Like, we know you can't tell us, you know, anything, but people keep saying, like, you know, do you think it's going to be good? Like, there's so much hype, and I, you know, straight up told people on Twitter, Martha Madison has been watching since she's 8, and she said on her radio show that this is some of the best soap she's ever seen, and I trust her, and I could just, you could feel it, you know, you could just get that energy from you. So I think that's what the show so desperately needs right now. Just like, you know, even now there's a turn in the writing right now, and people are really pumped for the 50th, and we're really excited to see you guys back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, on my show, and you just repeat it is great soap. You know, it's a balance of, you know, getting back to what soap is, what Days of Our Lives is. You know, it's about family, it's about love, it's about romance, it's about mystery, it's about intrigue, it's about, you know, I mean, it's a perfect balance of all of that. And the writers are, I mean, really the writing that I've been there for and see going forward, it's like a freight train. I mean, it's just like, you know, this is happening, and this person is here, and that person, you know, I mean, it's just, there's always something to look forward to, and it doesn't quit, and it's, it just keeps, I mean, every time I get a script, it's like, oh my God, that's so brilliant, you know, I never would have thought of that, I never would have seen that coming, and there's just so much of that, and there, I think, you know, Josh Griffith is an amazing writer, Dina also, you know, Josh is there on set every single day, and he's paying attention to what's, you know, because, you know, it airs so far ahead. I think it's really a great thing to see a writer taking an interest in the daily. Like, is this working? Is this not working? I want to get to know this person so I know how to write better for them. I feel like that is, that's how it feels to me when he's there all the time. And I think that's really special because that's not really the way it works on those soaps.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be good, I promise.
Oh, no, we believe you. Britt, are you, Britt, you there? Britt?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Britt.
Oh, my God, the call got dropped. Okay, sorry. Britt, it's all you. I'm excited. Listen, Martha, we are, like, excited for every question, but the next one especially. Take it away, Britt.
Well, first of all, I really wanted to ask, too, is, like, kind of going back about, like, your return and everything, what's it been like returning now? I mean, since things, especially your life in general, is completely different now that, you know, that you're a mom and things. Mm-hmm. So what's it been like coming back all these years later?
You know, it's been great. Just as generally, it's been great. You know, the environment there it's a really great work environment because everybody that's there is really excited to be there and happy about the way the story is going. So it's a, you know, just on the foundation level of liking where you work, I really like where I work and I like the people that I'm working with. It's different, you know, because I'm different and it's been 7 years since I've been there and a lot has happened to me personally in those 7 years. Like you said, I've been married, I've opened and sold businesses, I've had a baby, you know, I've had to deal with, you know, issues with my family and it's, I feel like I've grown and understand better the business of Hollywood and I also understand better deeper, more emotional levels of a human being, which makes it easier to draw on those experiences to be a better actor. So I feel like I'm better. I feel like I'm more prepared. And so that makes work even more fulfilling and fun. So it's great.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I was actually telling someone today, like I was talking to a coworker and I was saying, I was like, you know, I wish sometimes I could actually go back and say, mm-hmm. like, to my younger self, like, you really mm-hmm. should look at this differently, or, you know, I wish I had done this differently,
right.
Because you have, when mm-hmm. you're younger and you start a job, you just, you know, you think you know everything, and you know, you think you have it all down, but you learn so much
right.
each year, so, mm-hmm. You know, what you're saying, I think a lot of people can relate to, and also, like, another thing, kind
sure.
of side note, but you're coming back, and, you know, not just you've changed, but we were trying to kind of remember this because you had a lot more sets the last go around. I don't know if Salem Place was still there. I mean, it must be a lot different just in terms of like sets because everything is really the Salem Square right now.
Well, what you're seeing right now is not what you're going to be seeing 6 months from now. So I hear you, but
okay,
you're wrong.
Oh, well, listen, we've never been so excited to be wrong. Don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good wrong. Yes, it's the new executive producer, Albert Aloire, and Janet Ryder are people who have worked for the show for decades. Albert was a director when I was there before. He is a brilliant guy, and they've had just incredible ideas of how to utilize the space that we're in. And you're going to see all sorts of, I mean, it looks so good. It looks, you know, it looks modern. It looks, the lighting is better. Everything is good. It's a complete overhaul of the show.
Well, we know that prior to returning, you've kept obviously very busy, by your own admissions.
Mm-hmm.
And you were also on you were on a web series,
mm-hmm.
you know, in between the Emmy-winning web series, The Bay, where you played mm-hmm. the romantically confused Marley. Now, we're huge fans of The Bay, and we're big fans of just, you know, soaps on the web, obviously daytime and soaps on the web, and we love Michael's
mm-hmm.
work, which we'll get to. But we were wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how did you get involved in The Bay and kind of connect with that project?
The Bay started for me at the very beginning. Tristan Rogers was someone I had known through the grapevine. We were actually planning to work on a different project together called Reality Bites that actually never went. And he called me and he said, I have this friend who has this concept and he's looking for some name people to play the main family and I want to put you in touch. So he put me in touch with Gregory Martin, and he told me about this very sort of socially elite but very damaged character who had struggles with her mother, who Mary Beth Evans had already signed on to do it. And, of course, I had worked with Mary Beth before, so I said yes, and we went for it. And, you know, the first year was just a lot of learning how to do everything, you know, because all of us were novices, you know, to the whole idea of actually producing a TV show or a web series. And so, you know, we went through some growing pains and we got to collaborate a lot together on how we wanted to make it look. And, you know, each season got better and better and better. I ultimately decided after the fourth season, I think it was the fourth season, third or fourth season, that, you know, I really wanted to, I had had some interest in doing some other projects like Soapbox and stuff like that. So I exited, and they told the story of Marley's demise, which actually is the episode that won them an Emmy. So sort of got to be a part of that.
I was really hoping that she was going to reappear, but I saw like your goodbye tweet, and you know, I was a little bummed. I'm not going to lie, but we know that you're busy working on other things.
Well, now there's just absolutely no time, but I don't know that Marley is always going to be gone, but I do think that, you know, I am. And moving on to other series like Winterthorn and continuing production on Soapbox and now Dave, you know, it's just, there's not enough time in the day.
It was really cool to watch like how the show evolved from the first season. It was really cool to see like the growth, and not to mention like what an amazing cast. I mean, a huge cast, an amazing cast.
How you know I made some of my best friends on that show, and that's how Lily and I hooked up and ended up doing Soapbox. So. You know, it had a lot of great things came out of that for me. So I'm just really grateful for the experience.
We were going to ask you about that too, if that's how you met Lily, because Liz and I have talked before. We absolutely love watching you guys and just the chemistry that you guys have on the Soapbox.
Thank you.
So we didn't know if you guys were friends beforehand.
No, we met on the Bay, and then we did a show called Planet 360. They did a soap segment for this TV show every week, and our friend Jim Romanovich brought Lily Melgar and I in to basically be a panel and talk about different things happening in the soap world. And he felt like, you know, we had something really cool there, and Lily and I decided to try something with that, you know, dynamic. And here we are 2 years later, it worked out. Yeah.
Well, we're going to actually pick your brain a little bit about that, too, as well, because we, again, absolutely love it. I listen to you guys a lot on the way into work. Before we do, shifting gears a little, but while we're kind of still on the subjects of web series, we are pumped. We're huge Divanity fans here. So we're pumped that you're part of Michael Caruso's latest web creation, Winterthorn, which is going to debut, guys, on August 27th. We were excited to learn that you'll be portraying Miranda. We wanted to know, were you familiar with Michael's previous work, and how did you kind of connect with him and get involved in this project?
I was. I can't say that I was an avid watcher of Divanity, but, you know, I'm always interested in the happenings of the soap world, and I obviously knew a lot about it just from reading different blogs and the coverage about the show. And Lily and I were at the Daytime Emmys in the press room interviewing different actors, and I think Michael came up to me and he said, "Hi, I'm Michael Caruso." I said, "Oh, you know, it's so nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you." And I you know, they were nominated for an Emmy for Divanity that year. And, you know, I felt like they were very well known, and I was just really happy to meet them. And we had a great rapport, and I interviewed them for Soapbox. And he and his wife Barbie were just hilarious, and we just hit it off. So we kind of connected on social media after that, and then Michael reached out to me a little while later, and he said, "Hey, I have this new concept that I'm thinking of, and I really think you might be right for this, and let's have lunch." And that's really how it started. He pitched me the concept, and it sounded like a terrific character that would really stretch me as an actor, and I said yes. Absolutely, yes, cool. When we start.
we were pumped when we saw the cast. We feel like, because his work, the thing about Michael and Britt, I think you can attest to this, his work is top notch. Every little detail is there. And, you know, and to see, you know, some of our favorite faces like you and you know, in the trailer, it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I think the cast is top notch. We got you know, we really, all of us put our heads together and thought about who would be our dream person for this role. And basically everyone we reached out to said yes. So we got like our dream cast. You know, the material spoke for itself. You know, everybody read the script and said, absolutely, let's do it, because the script is really interesting and it's very different than anything else you have seen in the sort of web drama category. So it's really fun and interesting. And every frame of it is just beautiful, because Barbie and Michael, like you said, are just totally into every detail, and it's just gorgeous. I'm really proud of it. I think it's really one of the most interesting and fun things I've ever done.
One thing I love about Michael and what he does too is, like, I always I really appreciate how he pushes actors. I'm really excited to see you in this role. Like, yeah. You know, we're used to seeing you as like Belle. You know what I mean? So it's just really exciting. See you, as, you know, the and knowing,
well, that's,
knowing Caruso.
That's why I wanted
like
to do it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
Okay, I'm really, you know, the whole series is about this 10-year period of time in Miranda's life, and it's a major evolution and in her personality. So I really get to play like five different people.
That kind of ties into the next question. We know you can't say too much, but mm-hmm. how would you describe your Winterthorne character, Miranda? Mm-hmm. Britt, I know I stole this question from you, but she answered the other one. So I was like, I'm just going to go for it. Because we saw the trailer and you're like waving a gun around. And, you know, we read, you know, when we were researching that, you know, this is a very unique concept in that the female characters really hold all the power. So I was really, it just seems like something really different, you know, and a different role for you. So how would you, if you give us hints, how would you describe her? Especially for Belle fans out there.
You know, I think she is a very, at the beginning, her character is a very, I would say almost naive. Yes, all of the women have all the power in the family, and they know that. But she was starts off as maybe sheltered a bit by her family and very well taken care of, and very, you know, no reason to believe that there was anything wrong. And she gets through all of this, all of the events over these 10 years, she learns about the real depths of her family and the secrets that sort of lie beneath. And she is put in a lot of difficult positions where she really has to battle her own morality and make decisions that sometimes mean life and death. And it pushes her to a place where she probably didn't realize she had the strength that she has. And then she gets to a place where she has to come to terms with her power and how it affects her. It's a great role, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, my goal was always hoping that in the end, like her or not, you at least understand why she's had to do what she's had to do.
Oh,
I
can't.
Talk about it like Hitch, Martha.
No.
I.e. she's
I'm
a
like,
bitch.
Oh. Oh, man. you know, kind of moving just forward just a little bit here, but you know, we've talked about now you working on soaps and having worked on, you know, different web series now. What would you say were the biggest differences working on a web series versus a network production? Like, what are the pros and cons?
Pros and cons. Well, I mean, working on a web series, you have there's only a few of you. You know, most web series like this have a small budget. And so you really kind of cling on to each other and depend on each other to figure out how to do a lot of this stuff. So it's very challenging, and you learn a lot because you have to do it really on the cheap, and you have to try and get, you know, the best product for the smallest amount of money. And I think that makes you feel, you know, you kind of have to roll up your sleeve and, like, get in there. And I really like that. That's something I love to do things like that. I always want to learn how to do new things, and I like collaborating with a team. You know, a network, so it's not, it is a team. It is your tribe of people, but you are hired to do one job, and you go and you do that one job, and you do it the way you're told to do it, you know. You can collaborate in some instances, but you don't necessarily get to all the time. So, but, you know, working on a network soap, you're, I mean, that's cream of the crop. You know, everybody wants those jobs. I'm so happy to have that job. But the great news is that you can do both. And so I get all of it from doing all of these different things. And I'm still really fortunate because, you know, not everybody gets to do that. So, but I think, you know, web series are really fun and they force you to be creative and resourceful. And I really like that.
Well, we are huge supporters, shifting a little bit here, but because we, again, you know, one of the things we're amazed at is just you do a lot. We know there's a lot on your plate. So not only are you on Days, you know, involved in the web series, but we also know, obviously, and we hope all the people listening know, if not, get with it, that you are one of the co-hosts of Soapbox, Radio Soapbox. Mm-hmm. And you know, you and Lily really have a natural charisma that allows you to play off one another and really make your guests feel at ease. We love that you touch on a variety of topics, including ones outside of daytime. And I haven't had a chance to listen to the one today, but you know, I've gone back and listened to a bunch. I mean, you asked Greg Vaughn what his feelings were on twerking, and you became my personal hero. So you asked some, you know, you asked, I mean, you know, you were asking Michael Caruso, you know, about UFO spotting. So, I mean, I'm telling you guys, you just keep the topics, you keep it moving. So we wanted to know, like, in all honesty, not just as fans of you, but just obviously we do a podcast, we're kind of podcast nerds, but how did you come up with the concept of Soapbox? What were you hoping to achieve?
I did not come up with the concept of Soapbox. Lily did. She came to me when I was about 7 months pregnant and said, hey, I just met with these people at this studio called T-Radio V. They want me to do this Spanish-speaking show, and I feel like it would be more compelling to do a show about soaps. I mean, like we did on Planet 360, basically. And I said, you know, I'm pregnant. I'm not interested. And she said, well, no, you need to be interested because this is a great platform for us. This is a great vehicle for us to, you know, stay relevant and to talk about this thing that we really like and to meet people. And this is a great way to kind of tie all that into one thing a week. And I said, yeah, I don't think you're hearing me. I'm 7 months pregnant. I'm not interested. And she said, if I can get, because she knows that, like, my biggest crush in daytime is Michelle Stafford. And she said, if I get Stafford to be our first guest, will you do it? And I said, if you can get Michelle Stafford, I'll do it. You know, never thinking that was going to happen.
That's awesome.
She texted me later that day. She's like, okay, Stafford's in for the 22nd. You ready? Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Britt, you watched that interview, right? Because Britt was telling me, she's like, did you see the Stafford interview? It was great. They were talking about, like, hot dogs or, I don't know, something. You said it was hysterical.
She's been
recently,
on
yeah, was...
three times. Yeah. She was our first guest, and, you know, I feel like it was a pretty good show. I mean, we had so many hiccups, and looking back, it was probably terrible, but for our first show, doing something we'd never done before, it seemed kind of like a natural fit. And so we just spent the next few months really figuring out what our format was going to be. Like, what are we doing in each segment? How are we going to do this so there's some predictability? But, you know, and we really, I feel like that's really where I took all the reins and said, I'm going to do this. So, because I'm a control freak. So I took the reins and kind of formatted the show, and it is what it is today. So and it has done everything we wanted it to do. You know, it really was a vehicle to stay relevant, and we really have gotten to meet tons of people that we never would have met otherwise. And you know, it was a great networking play, and we even had a holding agreement with the network at one point, thinking we were going to go to television. It didn't work out, but you know, we've definitely crossed some boundaries with this, and we're not done yet. So made a great show today with Cassie DePriva. You should go check it out. It's up on our archive
page. Oh, we can't wait. We love
her. I caught the first half, and I was, like, in tears. Michael Caruso is just hilarious anyways. Like,
yeah,
with his one-liners and his comeback, he's just hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
You talked about how Stafford was like your ultimate soap girl crush. So kind of touching on that a little bit, is there anyone in the soap industry you haven't had the chance to work with but you would love to just have scenes with?
Well, I guess I kind of have had scenes with her now on Winterthorne, but I'd love to work with Kirsten more. Kirsten Storms. She is just super fun and super professional, and I think we would have a blast working together. We did have a blast working together on Winterthorne, so I'd love to work more with her. Like I said, I've always been sort of a fan of Young and the Restless, and I have like super crush on Eric Braeden. I'd love to do a scene with him someday. So those are a couple right there that would be super fun.
Well, we have to say, Martha, like, especially, obviously we do this podcast, and we try to, we love the Soap Party Girls, and there's a lot of people. We try to, tune in and support other podcasts. There's some really great ones out there. I definitely think if you're not a soap fan and you hear what we're doing, I've had friends, and they're kind of like, really, you have a podcast where you discuss soap operas, there tends to be that kind of, that stigma, and people are quick to say, like, oh, are they, they're going off the air. So I just, all jokes aside, it means a lot that you do this podcast. Not only is it just fun and you guys are funny, but you do, I think, whether you realize it or not, keep daytime relevant. Just even when you guys brought on Michael Fairman, and if anyone listening hasn't caught that interview yet, I think it was two interviews back, I found it so interesting as a soap fan. This guy knows his stuff. For him to kind of break down, this is what it's like to be a soap writer. He basically said it's like one job that you couldn't really get him to ever do because there's just so much pressure. And, that was, for me as a soap fan, really interesting. And I wouldn't really have gotten to necessarily hear that, otherwise.
Right.
So, it was really, from the bottom of our hearts, it's a little fangirl. Thank you, because it's a great show.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always a lot of fun to put together, but it really, like you said, it's about our guests and their knowledge. And Michael Fairman, for sure, is one of the most knowledgeable people in daytime. And, to get him on talking about important things that were happening behind the scenes, like we were talking a lot about General Hospital and the writer change and all these regime changes that are happening, he has a really complete understanding of what it all means. Where I think fans don't necessarily, and they shouldn't because they don't work in it, but I think it helps. It's educational. It can be educational, and I think that's important because I think, a lot of people are really quick to judge and I'm really quick to tweet and really quick to make judgments if they don't really understand what they're talking about. So I love being able to provide a platform for people to do that. Yeah.
And I think, too, like, I've always – Britt and I have had the opportunity to go to some fan events. We've gone to a few, and, we tend to be kind of on the quieter side. But one thing that I can honestly say is, it's amazing to see that these people, all the actors we've met, are just really grateful to have an opportunity to still be in daytime with so many of them going off the air. And they're down to earth, and they're funny, and obviously they're so much different than their characters. And I think that, you allow people to see kind of them in that down to earth mode outside of work as well. And I like getting their opinion on things. So that's really neat as well.
Well, I work with these people and I know them personally and they're so much cooler than anyone knows. And it's so great to just put them in a relaxed environment and let them be themselves because they're amazing people that do a lot of amazing things that aren't, their whole life isn't just about their work. There's lots of cool things about them. And it's really fun. And I'm so glad I got to meet so many of these people.
Well, we know that you also have an extensive background in theater, dance, singing. We also saw that you're an executive producer on Wintersorn. Outside of acting, Britt and I both were like, we have to ask this question. What are some other areas that you enjoy working in and hope to explore more in the future?
Well, you know, over the last 12 years with my husband, I've owned and operated multiple restaurants in San Francisco and New York and Los Angeles. And so I've gotten to understand sort of the dynamics of building a business and running a business and making money from business. And I really like things that I don't particularly love the restaurant business, but I like the idea of building things and making something from nothing. So I really love production. I really love really love writing. Things that excite me are having a vision of something and starting from scratch to get there. So those, you know, anything that falls into that category is something I'm going to be on board with.
Well, as long as you keep doing soapbox, we're okay with that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we saw that. We saw that you had an executive producer title, which we were
Michael gave me that title. Yeah, Michael, it wasn't a deal that we had made at the beginning. Michael just called me one day and he said, you know what, I really think that you have earned this position, this title of executive producer, because he had really been so generous and gracious to let me collaborate on some of this before we got started, and it really became kind of a team effort. So I was just, you know, that was just the nicest, greatest thing. And it certainly, those are the credits that I'd like to be building up, you know.
Absolutely.
It's great. Yeah.
Well, we're switching a little more personal now, but we really love that when we have guests on, we try to always highlight if they're involved in a charity, because, again, we think that's important for people to see. And I have to say, daytime actors and actresses do some amazing work, when they're not shooting, which we absolutely love. And we've loved to kind of, you know, that's when we do our research, we just happen to always see it. So we try to always incorporate that in. And we really love that you're an ambassador for the National Multiple Sclerosis Foundation. And we know this is something that, you know, really hits home for you. Can you just tell us a little bit about, like, how you became involved in this?
Sure. Well, I think you said in the intro, my mother was diagnosed with MS when I was 6 years old. She was 30. And it was a big part of our lives growing up. You know, she had relapsing, remitting MS, so she would have periods of being very sick, followed by long periods of being perfectly fine. And so it was a little bit like growing up on the roulette wheel. You know, you don't really know what's coming. Nobody does. And so it was stressful, and it was something that I think was really hard for my mom to have to deal with. You know, she was a single parent of three daughters and dealing with this illness and also working two jobs, and, like, you know, she's just my hero, superhero. So when I was on Days the first time, they had the National MS Society reached out to me and said, you know, we've heard about your story, and we'd love for you to be involved. And I just was so flattered, and of course was absolutely yes, anything I can do to raise money and raise awareness. So I went and spoke at some different conferences around the world, around the country, and we've done several fundraisers. I think probably that year we raised about $30,000 for the MS Society, and it's just, you know, being able to make a difference is really about raising awareness and talking about it. And, you know, every day we get closer and closer to better medications, and it's a great honor to be involved in that.
Well, thank you, because, you know, I can say without getting too personal, but, you know, it affects a lot of people, and I think, you know, Britt and I have seen some people very near and dear to us, and some friends with, you know, parents that struggle with this. So, and it really can be one of those things that really flares up. And, it, you know, like I said, it means, you know, means a lot, especially you can relate to it. And we were really that when I was doing my research, I was like, I got to mention it. So, you know, and your mom sounds mm-hmm. like a pretty amazing woman.
She is an amazing woman, yeah. I will.
Yeah, no,
thank you.
She sounds, tell her Liz from Litany said that. But also, and you know, this next question, I'm going to just be honest. I kind of wrote it with me in mind because mm-hmm. we were actually pregnant around, I think you had your daughter a couple months
earlier. In November.
But yes, but I had my first and a girl also that following April. And we know, obviously, that you welcomed her that November.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
What's it like throwing the mom card in to being, you know, hosting Soapbox, working with your husband, because we know you work with him a lot outside of the mm-hmm. studio and working on mm-hmm. web projects. How, mm-hmm. literally, how do you manage it all? And can you give anyone kind of in the same situation listening any advice?
You know, listen, I have help. That's how I do it. I spend a great chunk of my income on hiring a woman who loves my daughter, who helps me. And I have no shame in that. Like, I couldn't possibly do it without her. She has been a godsend, and my daughter is in love with her. So I have a lot of help during the week. Beyond that, I think it's just been a matter of shifting all of my priorities down one peg, you know, because she's my number one now. So everything else just kind of shifted down one station. and every decision I make starts with, okay, how is this going to affect Charlie? So, you know, it really hasn't been as hard as it could be, you know, because I've been fortunate enough to have help. I don't really know how people do it without, like I said, my mom was a single mom with three daughters. Like, I cannot wrap my mind around how the hell she did that.
Yeah.
And you know, I also think some women kind of come by it naturally, you know, like being a mother just comes naturally to them, and the more the merrier, and I, you know, God bless them, I am not that girl. Like, I'm not. It did not come naturally to me. I was terrified. I'm still terrified. Like, I'm one and done. I'm happy with my daughter. I don't need to do it again. we're good.
Oh man, you're divulging a lot on Litany. No, honestly, like I'm
very passionate about that.
Yes, I'm gonna be like, for the record, she announced on Litany that she was one and done. And honestly, like I you know, I work full time, and I can honestly say my until she can start, she's gonna start preschool where I work, mm-hmm. but or like a school whatever for toddlers. But until that, you know, my parents help during the day, and I couldn't do it without them. And like I tell people, it's the hardest job that I've ever done, but it's also the most rewarding and the funnest. So sometimes when I'm feeling stressed out, I'm like, okay, you know what? Martha is probably shooting 12 hours today and then has to get ready for Soapbox. So get over it and pull yourself together. So thank you. People have talked about it with me.
Being a mother is the hardest job in the world, and anyone who can do it, I just think kudos to you. And we're a tribe, us moms, you know.
Well, Britt, you always throw in, we have about 2 minutes, and you actually, Britt likes to kind of throw in, I always say Britt, throw in like a random question based on the interview.
Okay.
What do you want, Britt, what do you want to ask Miss Madison for the last, last one?
I'm going to go with the question that we usually ask all of our, the last question we usually ask all of our interviewers, and that is, what is the biggest piece of advice you could give to someone wanting to break into acting?
You know, it's so funny. We were just talking about this today, and Michael Maloney was referencing an interview he did with Steve Martin, and he asked that same question. What advice would you give to a young actor coming to Hollywood? And he said, be good. And you know what? That's exactly the right answer. You know, there is a certain amount of luck, and there is a certain amount of preparation and all that kind of stuff. But if you're not good, it's not going to work out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So do your homework. Go to classes. Yeah. Take it seriously. Really, really approach it like this is your This is your livelihood. This is your money that's going to buy a roof over your head, and you have to be good at it to make it, to take it seriously. That's what I would say, yeah.
Well, that works for us. You're, like we said, you are, you know, really, we enjoy watching your career, and you know, we look forward to what's next. So
thank you,
Martha. You know, thank you for, you know, especially when with all the technical difficulties, you were great. We can't thank
no
you
problem.
Enough. And, you know, we will definitely probably be tweeting you in like 10 minutes. So thank you very much, you know, for joining us. You know, it means
thanks
a lot.
For
and, yes. And thank you, everyone
thanks
that joined
having.
Us. Oh, yeah, no, we, you know, fans were excited. We're going to probably get a lot of downloads, and we want to thank all the fans for retweeting and supporting. And Martha, you're the best. And everyone have a good night.
Great. Good night, you guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.